had a good week. Last time we talked about the covenant of blood, blood covenant. And so this is part two, old covenant, blood covenant. If we look at the covenants of Scripture from law of first discovery, we end up seeing a type of agreement with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden to tend and take care of things and to be fruitful, multiply. But they were not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now there isn't any mention of a covenant, but I think we can gather that there was an agreement, that Adam and Eve agreed to what Yahweh was telling them to do. According to the Anchor Yale Bible Dictionary, covenant means agreement enacted between two parties in which one or both make promises under oath to perform or refrain from certain actions. To me, this limits what we can call a covenant in Scripture. But the reason I bring up Adam and Eve as a type of covenant is I would assume Adam and Eve were both in agreement with Yahweh concerning what he wanted. Every indication is there. However, it does not say that they made an oath, nor did they cut a covenant with him, as far as I could find. Cutting a covenant is another way of talking about, to say, blood covenant or an agreement ratified in blood. After they did eat of the tree, there was another agreement, or rather a promise, of a curse that both they and Satan would suffer. Satan would be placed low and his head would be crushed, eventually crushed. Adam and Eve would no longer be able to stay in the Garden of Eden, which deteriorated into thistles and thorns. Of course, by the brow, the land would be worked. And essentially that land there is a desert, the land that many scholars believe was where Eden was, below Babylonia there. But though not a blood covenant, when sin entered the picture, there was a first type of animal sacrifice made for Adam and Eve, in which they wore the skins thereof to cover their nakedness, a type of law that was added because of transgressions, which we see in Scripture. As we focused last time on blood covenants, which I do think tend to blend as an original agreement with Abraham, whose name was originally Abram, and his descendants through Isaac and Jacob, with the New Testament or New Covenant, members of the body of Messiah, we can identify more readily what was understood as the Old Covenant, or more accurately, the First Covenant. Let's look at Hebrews 8, 7 through, or 6 through 7. But now he, speaking of Yahshua, was obtained, or has obtained, a more excellent ministry, by as much he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which has been enacted on better promises. For if the first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion sought for a second. Now continuing, we find in Hebrews 8, 8 through 9, for finding fault with them, he says, behold, days are coming, says Yahweh, when I will effect a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. For they did not continue in my covenant, nor did I care for them, says Yahweh. Better promises in the new covenant. What is that? Well, we'll look at that in a minute. But what was the fault of the first covenant? It was with the people who didn't have a heart to adhere to it. The fathers mentioned in verse 9 are the elders of Israel, as they were addressed by Moses about what was about to be agreed upon at Mount Sinai. Continuing, Hebrews 8, 10 through 13, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yahweh. I will put my laws in their minds, and I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach everyone his fellow citizen, and everyone his brother, saying, know Yahweh, for all will know me, from the least to the greatest of them. And don't we live a lifestyle that we are just adhering to? We know what we're doing, I think, to the most of our ability. And that's with Yahweh's Spirit working within us and reading His Word. But in verse 12 it says, for I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. When he said a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. But whatever is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to disappear. And there are a number of things to notice here. First, that the majority of this quote is actually a quote from the Old Testament, Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. Yahweh's own voice telling what the first covenant is and what the new covenant would be like. It is with Israel from the time that Yahweh took them by the hand out of Egypt. Passover, blood covered them. And Passover, blood covers us in the new covenant. The difference is, it is Yahshua's blood that covers us in the second agreement, with the Spirit being given. So we have more knowledge and understanding of Yahshua and Yahweh, and to help us to obey them from the heart, with a desire to get the things we are to be doing on our mind. We can see this clearly by the inspired author in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 10, 15 through 16, which says, "And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us, for after saying, 'This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days,' says Yahweh, 'I will put my laws upon their heart, and in their mind I will write them.'" Are we still growing? Yes, I sure hope so. We are to grow in knowledge and understanding. It's Yahweh's Spirit that is accomplishing this. And those of us in Messiah have made an agreement to forsake sin and live according to Yahweh's word. So we hear Yahweh's word expounded upon in messages and in writings, the main writings being from Scripture. But there are also historical writings that we can reference, things that help put things in perspective. But not much different than what was expected from Israel, or for that matter, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were all to do Yahweh's will, the words that proceeded out of his mouth. There is a difference between the Abrahamic covenant and the covenant with Israel. The difference is that Yahweh is going to bring Israel and patriarchs like Abraham into the kingdom. Yahweh promises in the Abrahamic covenant unconditionally. And I say is because it has not disappeared yet. That is the old covenant. So the indication is that it will eventually. That is the old covenant. But how it will disappear, we don't fully understand. Will it disappear when the physical people of the kingdom are granted to eat of the tree of life? Will they be as Adam and Eve were originally intended to be? That is, to live forever with bodies that never wear out. Their youth stays intact as it continually renews itself. Or will it be that those coming into the kingdom will be able to, after the 1,000-year reign, be fully spirit beings, as those in Yahshua the Messiah, when he returns, will be? Scripture doesn't tell us exactly, but Hebrews 9:15 says, and I didn't write it down here, but I'll just read it, "A death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant." Let me repeat that. Hebrews 9:15 says, "A death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant," which would indicate that those who have died a first death from disobedience of the old covenant may not have to die a second death if they are granted entrance into life through the Messiah when they are resurrected. It is important for us to know, or I should say, is it important for us to know? It's not really a salvational issue for us, is it? What is important and is a salvational issue for us is what we do with what we know now. In the Messiah, we are to be sensitive to the Spirit Yahweh has given. We are to be paying attention to the word that is clearly written for our admonition, our instruction, and teaching, that we may be doing those things and the works that which are appropriate for those in Messiah, walking in light and truth of Yahweh's word. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Yahshua his son cleanses or purifies us from all sin. Do we make mistakes? Yes. Can we repent? I think so. Does Yahweh remember the blood that covers those immersed into Yahshua's name? Does he see the Messiah working with us in his spirit? Yet I think we can willfully push past his spirit and his word. The New American Standard Bible probably highlighted the word light here in 1 John 1:7 to emphasize the Trinity idea that the Holy Spirit is a so-called personages or person. What they don't understand is if you have a portion of Yahweh's Spirit within you, then you have a part of Yahweh within you. To make you a full-fledged son and daughter when you are transformed fully into a spirit being. Even now we are referred to as such as being adopted into the family and set apart for a special purpose. And in this sense, we are even called saints. But we are to strive to overcome and to make our calling and election sure so we can be fully transformed and be first fruits at his return. As with Israel, we can break the covenant with Yahweh. We can forfeit our right to inheritance through Abraham. We can symbolically trample underfoot the blood of Yahshua the Messiah in the new blood covenant. We can choose defiantly to get out of sync with Yahweh's Spirit and with his truth and be disqualified in this race that we are in, just as the Apostle Paul spoke about. The reward Paul spoke about is a symbolic crown of eternal life and rulership with Yahshua. And I believe that it's true that there are also rewards, various responsibilities. One may be given 10 cities to manage, another 4. We read of such things in the parables related to the kingdom of Yahweh. But have we answered the question, what was the old covenant? Ezekiel 10:11-12, and I gave them my laws and showed them my right rulings, which if a man does, he shall live by them. And I also gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me or between them and me, to know that I am Yahweh who sets them apart. To essentially answer the question of what the new or what the old covenant is, if we haven't already done so, it is the covenant that Yahweh had in mind when he took Israel by the hand. It also was no doubt what he had in mind with Abraham when the covenant was made with him so that there would be descendants to work with. Ultimately, Yahshua is from Israel through the line of Judah and allows us to be grafted back into Israel, since Yahweh had essentially given Israel of old a bill of divorce for their continued disobedience and breaking of his laws, his statutes, and judgment. As we saw last time, the laws, statutes, judgments, etc., were obeyed even by Abraham. Laws were before, they were during, and they were after. But the old covenant can be viewed as a Sinai covenant, in which Abraham's covenant allowed Yahweh to proceed in working with his descendants to give them the promised land. We are expected to do the same in the new covenant, that is, to obey and continue to look forward to eternal life as fully begotten spirit beings, now promised to us if we overcome to the end. And yes, even the promised land will be ours, but we will be ruling in it with the Messiah rather than just living there in peace. Again, if we overcome to the end, not breaking covenant with Yahweh. This is the better promises we are given in the new covenant. How does one break covenant? We can do like the man who went out and worked to gather wood on the Sabbath. We can despise the law and the Spirit and push past both to do our own will. And the man was put to death, as you may recall. He died a first death under the first covenant. But we can die a second death under the new covenant. Let's not break covenant, but continue to overcome rather than being overcome by the flesh and the things of this world. There's a brother from another assembly that came over, gave us some plaques, and basically they were showing the Ten Commandments and showing you know, loving the Messiah and these type of things. And it also said, this is serious. Don't forget, this is very serious. Blood was shed for us. Blood was shed in the past. Yahweh has been working out a plan in blood, signed in blood. His own son's blood is what we're under today. Interestingly enough, the seventh day Sabbath can be looked upon as being included in the Old Covenant, even though it was made holy from creation, similar to the covenant with Noah and the sign of the rainbow. I suppose we could even say it's similar to the blood token of the circumcision in the flesh. Sabbaths, plural, actually, are a sign unto Yahweh and his people. We are to follow Yahweh's example of resting on the seventh day. We are to follow in Yahshua's footsteps, and he rested on the Sabbath day also. Even though he was falsely accused of breaking it, we are told, and the examples teach us, that he never sinned, but was a perfect, unblemished sacrifice, one that we needed. And he was an example for us. Are there other covenants or agreements in Scripture? Sure. If we go back to the original list, we find a few we haven't really looked at closely. There is, of course, the worldwide flood agreement with Noah and his descendants, in which Yahweh promised to never flood the earth again. A token or sign of that agreement is found in the rainbow we sometimes see today. That's the reason it is there. It's a one-sided agreement if you look at it, as Yahweh says that he is the one making the agreement with Noah and his sons and all flesh, speaking of all the animals. That's found in Genesis 9, 8 through 12. But there is the agreement with Abraham, which we looked at. It focuses on his descendants through Isaac, with a promised inheritance of the sands of the sea, and the stars of heaven, and the land. There is the Mount Sinai agreement with Israel after being brought out of Egypt. Blessings and curses are mentioned. And we still have similar blessings or curses today for obedience, or alternatively disobedience. The disobedience is why the tribulation is coming to the earth. And interestingly enough, it's the obedience, the faithful obedience, is why Yahshua is coming back to this earth. It's not the only reason, but it's obedient children that will be waiting for him. And we want to be a part of that group, part of the sheep that are waiting for their shepherd. There is the agreement with Aaron and his sons, the Levites, to officiate over animal sacrifices and temple duties, which include teaching from the laws of Yahweh. Some of them did not do so well, like Aaron's sons, Nabad and Abihu, who brought in strange fire and were destroyed because they didn't follow Yahweh's instructions faithfully. But there would be those that would do well, and with special anointing, they were set apart. Exodus 40, 12 through 15, and thou shalt bring Aaron and his sons into the door of meeting, and thou shalt wash them with water, and thou shalt put upon Aaron the holy garments. You know, as you read through this, you can kind of get some of the things that we're even doing today. Baptism in water, washing us from our past sins, you know, burial with Yahshua. You know, being anointed with the Holy Spirit, you know, being given living waters. But it goes on here, verse 13, and thou shalt put upon Aaron the holy garments. And aren't we given garments in Messiah? Yahshua covers us so we can go before Yahweh. Thou shalt put upon Aaron the holy garments, and thou shalt anoint him and sanctify him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And aren't we referred to as a nation of priests, or a priesthood? And thou shalt bring his sons, verse 14, and put coats on them. Verse 15, and thou shalt anoint them, and thou, as thou didst anoint their father, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And their anointing shall be to them for an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations. And I think the main reason the Levites were chosen to do the work that they were given to do was the fact that they were the ones who stood with Moses, in essence stood with Yahweh. when he came down from the mountain and saw the calf that they had made, the people, he said, "Whoever is for Yahweh, come to me." The sons of Levi came, and they were instructed to put on swords and go and put to death the sinners. And they did, and 3,000 died at their hand, before Yahweh had said, "It is enough." So the Levites were ones that could certainly handle the sacrifices, being good with the swords, which is just basically a long knife. But more importantly, they heard the call to come to Yahweh, and they obeyed the instructions they were given. One final covenant that we want to look at, as we won't have time to go through others, there is the covenant with David and his descendants, in which the Messiah would come. This also goes back to the covenant with Abraham and the promises of kings coming forth from his loins. 2 Samuel 7, 12 through 15. "He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. When he does wrong, I will punish him with a rod wielded by men, with floggings inflicted by human hands." And you know, as we read through this, we can see the Messiah being spoken about, alluded to. But and I should mention that this is not an exhaustive going over of the Old Covenant and these type of things. This is some groundwork that we can move forward with and grow and continue our own studies. It says in verse 15, "But my love will never be taken away from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I love, or who I removed from before you." So David received a special anointing as king with the promise of Yahweh not taking his spirit, alluded to here as love. It says, won't take it from him. Is this because David's repentant heart, which Yahweh knew he had, rather than what Saul had? Or could it be that Yahweh made a special agreement and covenant with David, so that not even murder would break the covenant? It's important to consider that with this covenant, it's more of an unconditional one than not, I think. In other words, let's not think that we can do like King David did at times, murder, commit adultery, do these type of things, and think we'll get away with it. But, you know, the reality is King David didn't get away with it either. If we consider the severity of his punishments and those that died around him, even when he counted Israel in a prideful way, it looked like 70,000 died that day. A number was taken away from him in his pride. So, very severe. But Yahweh was working with him for a special purpose, and Yahshua was coming from him. So that's why Yahshua is even referred to today as the son of David. Jeremiah 33:20-21. "Thus says Yahweh, if you can break my covenant for the day and my covenant for the night, so that day and night will not be at their appointed time, then my covenant may also be broken with David, my servant, so that he will not have a son to reign on his throne, and with the Levitical priests, my ministers." You know, one of the punishments, of course, for David was that his own son died. That was a punishment. So severe was the punishment put upon David. But he was under a special covenant, a special agreement that Yahweh had and planned for him. But we can see we are at the end of the list of original covenants that we've been talking about, though there are others we could look at. We just don't have time today. But when we speak of the Old Covenant, we're talking about the one the New Covenant alludes to and even stems from, out of the need for the Spirit of Yahweh to be implanted within the people. Hebrews 9:15-17, "Therefore he is the mediator of a new covenant," speaking of Yahshua, "so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. For where a will is involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. for a will takes effect only at death, since it is not in force as long as the one who made it is alive. Continuing in Hebrews 9, 18 through 20, therefore not even the first covenant was inaugurated without blood. For when every commandment of the law had been declared by Moses to all the people, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant that Yahweh commanded for you." Not only does the blood of the new covenant draw its relationship from the old covenant, it draws upon it through the Messiah a better priesthood through the order of Melchizedek rather than the Levitical priesthood that we find. Does that mean that the Levitical priesthood will not move forward into the coming kingdom? No. It talks about this is an eternal thing with them. And in fact, it talks about the internal inheritance is the fact that they will be a priesthood to Yahweh forever. So how this will all work out, we don't fully comprehend it, I don't think. But I think what's coming is going to be amazing, and it's going to go on and into eternal life. But in the new covenant, let me back up. It draws upon the old covenant through the Messiah as a better priesthood through the order of Melchizedek. But it also brings into play the Abrahamic covenant to fulfill through the Messiah the promise of the descendants being as the stars of heavens, relating to a spiritual people to be brought into eternity as spirit beings. In the new covenant, those that overcome to the end will receive the promises and the inheritance having already been grafted into Israel. And this is where a lot of people, they get off track. They don't quite understand the relationship and what's happening today. But in Messiah, we are given the circumcision made without physical hands and given the Spirit as a seal. What the Spirit does for us today, it does knowing the fault of the people, and maybe I should say Yahweh's Spirit so we just have that clear. Yahweh knew the fault of the people, and he knows what we need today to be able to overcome and to grow in understanding and knowledge of them, of Yahweh and his Son. It gives us the strength, the Spirit does, and the fortitude to stay on the straight and narrow and not break covenant with Yahweh, the creator of the universe. It was planned from the creation that we would be called into his glorious light. And how that's possible, it boggles the mind. All that Yahweh can do and does and has been doing and will do, it's amazing. The old covenant was planned to come first. But for us today, we are given something much better with the help to succeed, where ancient Israel had failed. But in all of this, we'll want to remember that concerning Israel, Yahweh says, not one kernel will be lost. What does that all mean? I'm sure we'll find out. And as we've already seen, through blood, life is obtainable, even eternal life.